Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday at the California United Church of Christ. We also would like to invite you to be with us live and in person in worship this morning. Our church starts at 10:30 at our location at 101 North Oak. Sunday school is at 9:30. And if you don't have a church home of your own, we'd be tickled to see you. Thanks for listening.
Let us stand together as we call ourselves to worship. Come, Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts with joy and confidence. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the power of the rushing wind that we may faithfully serve you in all that we do. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us today. Let us sing this hymn of praise. Pray together our prayer. God of wind and fire, embolden us this day to receive your power. Help us to proclaim the wondrous things that you've done and continue to do in our lives. Give us strength and courage to share the good news of your love and your presence. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Since it was Flag Day, a group of our young members sang of Thee I Sing America. Listen now as Hadley and Ada Milligan, Bella Folks, Hunter and Brenna Hall, and Jess Medlin sing our special music.
Thank you.
Clinton reads the morning scriptures, followed by interim pastor Michael Matheny's sermon, Life in the Spirit.
Our first scripture reading comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it is neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound from the heaven like a rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each of them, one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and it began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the truth and utterance. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise be to God.
Thank you for those who sang today. Seems like we have so much talent that we need to have a talent show here sometime and have everyone share their talent. I think it'd be a great, great thing. I'd love to hear everyone sing or play, whatever they do. I'd enjoy that. You could tell I'm not a mega church pastor just by looking at me because I don't have a buzzed off hairdo. I don't have any tattoos or piercings. I don't wear blue jeans and I don't wear tennis shoes. And so I just don't fit the mold of the megachurch pastors, so maybe I should try that sometime. I changed my sermon for today. The Spirit led me to change it. And still talking about life in the Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit. And so I am going to share with you the passage from the book of Galatians, fifth chapter, the passage on fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit? How do they work in our life? Whenever you read a passage in Scripture, you have to always look at it in the context in which it is written. Because that always helps you to understand it. You know, what verses come before that, maybe what verses come after that. What is the chapter all about? And so today, to understand the gifts of the Spirit, you need to look at the verses that come before that. And this is what Paul says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to your sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under this law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impunity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. May God add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be made acceptable in Thy sight, You who are our strength and our Redeemer. So we're looking at the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in this passage. And we don't have time today to go into depth on all of these, which you could do in a study setting that you might have. We're just kind of skimming over the surface to remind us what they are, how important they are. And the first one that is always listed by Paul is love. And there's a lot of definitions of love. We love our animals, we love sports, we love this, we love that. But that's not the kind of love that's talking about here. Paul is talking about agape love, which is the love that God has, the love that God extends to us. It is the kind of love that God extended to us in Jesus Christ. It is a self-giving. It is a love that considers the other and not yourself. It is the opposite of being self-centered. I know that we don't always love like we should, but I know that I have been the recipient of God's love, the recipient of my parents and family and friends, and so have you. And it is just so special to know when we are loved. I know that that as soon as your children are born, you have a great love for them. Even if they're not that good looking, you still love them with it. And the same is true when you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You just have a heart full of love for them. You want the best for them, and you give the best to them. I know that you would give your life for your family. That's just the kind of love that we have for those that we know. And that's real, real love that we have experienced and that hopefully we give to others. And then joy. Joy is the recognition that we are loved by God and that He's at work in our life. He gives us so many blessings, family and friends, and things that give purpose and meaning to our life. And then to our family that we have. These are all things that give us joy, real joy. I mean, we have joy in doing things that we enjoy, hobbies and things like that. But real joy is knowing that we're a part of God's family and that we're part of this wonderful Christian family that stretches around the world. That gives us joy even in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of bad times. That it gives us joy. And peace, another one of the relationship gifts of the Spirit. Peace. The scriptures say that we have the peace of God which passes all understanding. If you remember, Jesus in the Gospel of John talked about peace, and he said, "My peace I give you, not like the world gives you." No, it's a peace that only I can give. You can only experience this through the presence of God. And it's a wonderful peace that comes even in times of sorrow and difficulty. There's a calmness of spirit. There is a sense that we have this peace that God gives to us. And so those are relationship gifts of the Spirit. And then there are these outward interactions that we have with people and others that are important. He says, first of all, patience. It's so good that God is patient with us because he needs to be patient with us because sometimes we just don't always do and live the way that we should. But we know he's patient with us. And we know that we're supposed to be patient with others. And some people don't do too well with that. They're not too patient with other people for whatever reason that it might be. But we are called to be forgiving and to be understanding, to extend to people around us patience as much as possible. And so that's important. And then kindness. We all know that we should be kind to other people, but here again, we're not always kind as we should be. I know that in relationships with other people, like husband or wife and others, there's a sameness to relationships. There are times when we get upset and discouraged or whatever, and we're not always kind like we should be. Once in a while, my wife says, "Now, what you just said, would you say that to other people?" And I have to say, "Well, I guess you're white, right?" That wasn't the kindest way to say that. I should have done that differently. But kindness is expressing goodness to others, recognition of who they are, and that's kindness. And then a similar goodness. Goodness is thinking of other people. It's thinking of the benefit of others. I've already seen a lot of goodness expressed by people of this congregation in different ways here and in the community. And that's really wonderful. That's what we should be aiming for, is expressing God's wonderful goodness that benefits all the people who are around us. And then last area is about is a character. It has to do with our character, and these are three gifts that are mentioned that have to do with character. First of all, he talks about being faithful. We are to be faithful people. That means that we are to be dependable, loyal, stable, the kind of person that people put their confidence in, and that they know that this person is going to be faithful in the words they say and the promises that they make. They're going to be faithful, and that's an important part of this spiritual gift. And then gentleness is being polite and restrained in our behavior toward others, so that we don't come across as harsh or critical. Instead, we come across, even though we can be firm, we can be truthful, we still do it in a way that is gentle, that people see us as people who are gentle. It's important. And then self-control. We know that that we have to be aware of how we live, and there are things that are good for us and things that are not so good for us. I'm talking about habits that you can have which are not helpful to you. We're talking about controlling different impulses that are harmful to you. We know, although it's not always easy to do, we know those things that are helpful to us and things that are not. And so we try to practice discipline in those areas. We discipline our lives so that they're helpful to us and to others. And all of these gifts come to us from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world, in our lives, in a wonderful way. And the thing we have to always do is to be aware of it and to be open to it and surrender to it. And I often encourage people when they get up in the morning and as they start their day, even if you didn't have a lot of time to spend in quiet or in a devotion some way, you could still whisper to God and say, Holy Spirit of God, be with me today. Help me to share your love with others, and help me to be aware of people that need your love, your understanding, your forgiveness. Just help me to be aware of what's going on around me. Not to be so caught up in myself and all the things that I want to do and things that are important to me, but instead of what's going on around me with people that I meet every day. And so That's why we need to be surrendered and open to God's Spirit every day as much as possible, that these gifts and other things will be at work in our lives in new and better ways. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your wonderful word that teaches us about things of the Spirit. And we want to hear these words again today and live them out in our lives for our benefit and the benefit of others. Amen. I invite you to spend some moments in quiet prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are praying that you would breathe upon us by your Holy Spirit in new and wonderful ways, because we need that, and we know that you have wonderful gifts for us, wonderful ways to work in our life so that we are drawn closer to you and to one another and are able to share your love with other people. And so that is our prayer. We do pray that you will be with those of our congregation that have lost loved ones, who are in need of your love and comfort. We are praying for those who are not able to be here in worship. We are thinking of them and we miss them. We pray you'll be with those who are watching us on the closed circuit TV. Help them to know that they're missed, and we would love to see them again in some way. We're praying, God, for the activities which are coming up this week, that you'll continue to help those who are planning and who are a part of these different activities. We want to be your light and your love in this city, in this community. We want more and more people to be aware of your love and your goodness. And so help us to be your light, your love in all these ways. So hear our prayer, hear our praise. And we pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.